Here we go. Here we radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is March 27, 2022. Welcome, everyone. Chat rooms, the number 2, incendiaryradio.chatango.com, incendiaryradio.chatango.com. And I'll plug Hooli's blog, W-H-O-O-L-I-S, blog.blogspot.com. He always puts the broadcast up. Usually the next morning, commercial free. So if you want to give that to anybody. So the first thing I've got to do tonight is address some whiner that heard the broadcast last week and sending emails into the network complaining about the language when I was when I had Sam play the alleged Merc that was over there in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of it all in the Ukraine. He had a foul mouth, but military and especially people involved in that kind of world, they use rough language, military men, especially younger guys like that. Of course, they're going to be using rough language. I wasn't playing that to get my rocks off due to the guy's mouth. I was playing that for the audience and for posterity in the archives that this is allegedly what somebody was reporting. And I'd just like to say to the wallflower, the lily, the wuss that can't handle a little rough lingo at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, maybe this isn't the broadcast for you. Maybe you didn't like the fact that I played some Dostoevsky and you're just using the language as a way to try to poke at me. I don't know. But, you know, if you're that soft, you probably shouldn't listen to the network, number one, or number two, especially my broadcast. Because this is not for the faint of heart, okay? And if you're that worried about some kid tied up in a, you know, the Merc and the special forces world and the, you know, in the war zones, what good are you to us anyway? As far as when this real thing really does come down and the crap hits the fan and it's going to be Mad Max Road Warrior level out here in the streets when the goons at BlackRock and the rest of them decide to really turn everything off. And so I just wanted to get that out of the way. So that song I was playing to lead us in, this is all has to do with Taylor Hawkins, the song selection tonight, this character. And I've never really followed him very closely. I've never been a big Foo Fighters fan. When Kurt Cobain died and Dave Grohl, he kind of went out on his own. And I've never really been a big Dave Grohl fan. And I've went off on him numerous times, if you're a regular listener to the broadcast, due to the fact of him kind of being a suck up to Lemmy from Motorhead and just, you know, one of these sycophantic type rock stars that sucks up to all the other people in the business and, you know, so forth and so on. Not to say he doesn't have, you know, some similar musical tastes to mine from childhood, because we do have some paths that cross. But the whole thing with the forced vaccinations, them jumping on the vaccine passport game and all that, and now we've got this drummer from the band Foo Fighters dying mysteriously down in a very strange land, Colombia, Bogota, the capital, very seedy and hardcore area. But that song, the first song leading us in, was from his kind of one of his little side projects called The Birds of Satan. And if you look at the, and I'm looking at the one, the graphic of this album cover, and it's a guy sitting in a, in his robe, like on a dirty, disheveled couch. And he's looking like he's really down on his luck. Poly substance abuse going on. You can type this in, Birds of Satan, Pieces of the Puzzle, and go to your images, and you'll find this guy. Big old sack of weed sitting off to his left, a crushed beer cans. There's rolled up dollar bill in a tray. There is little baggies, booze bottles, and so forth. So it really looks like a poly substance abuser, you know, in the graphic image of the album cover. So, you know, we're hearing all these stories about 10 plus substances being in this guy's bloodstream and so forth and so on. Now, and let me see how I'm going to do this. So that was the first song we played, and he was born February 17th, 1972, I believe, and he just turned 50 years old. Okay. Now, here's what's very strange, and I'm one of these kind of satanic contracts with the rock stars, and you know, so you've already had this incident with Dave Grohl with Kurt Cobain's suicide. Okay, Kurt Cobain joins the 27 Club, you know, and Courtney Love has been kind of semi, let's just say she's a suspect, but some people looked at Dave Grohl and his kind of meteoric rise with to a really huge status with the Foo Fighters and kind of looking at him sideways with this whole kind of satanic sacrifice motif that we see floating around in the rap world especially, but the rock world also, and this history of people dying early that are near other people. And I'm going to kind of tie some things together here. It's very, very fascinating. But so they announced that this guy was going to join the Foo Fighters March 18th, 1997. Okay. So he dies March 25th, 2022, 25 years and a week after his announcement of joining. Now, he played as a tour drummer with Alanis Morissette, this young lady that got real big for a flash in the pan in the 90s. And he's been involved with a lot of different projects. But I find that's exactly almost 25 years, 7 days, you know, and you read these histories of these people that have allegedly sold their souls for a period of time to be kind of on top of the world. And so I thought that was interesting. Right around 25 years, this guy gets to be, you know, in the, as a, you know, very, very top of the food chain rock star. And he's worked with everybody. I mean, very, very crazy how many different artists that this guy's worked with. So there's another big article floating around now. Now, this gets into the vaccine angle. We know that the Foo Fighters allegedly were all vaxxed. Now, there's some arguing back and forth about this guy's history, and I was trying to dig into this, but with him being staunchly anti-vax in the past, but when the COVID kind of thing came around, you know, you really can't trust a lot of these stars and so forth that want to push the vax on the little people. Like Trudeau, there's people saying right now that this guy's still not vaxxed. Remember the heads of Pfizer and BioNTech, both these companies, neither one of them being vaxxed. So I don't even know if any of these stars that are requiring vaccinations to go to their shows and so forth are truly vaxxed themselves. We know this kind of elitism that permeates Hollywood politics and so forth and so on. So, but anyway, at the New York Post, this was just came out this today. Taylor Hawkins's heart weighed double that of an average man. Okay, and so forensic experts during the examination found his heart weighed at least 600 grams, double the average of 300 to 350 grams. And so he was found dead Friday, Four Seasons, Casa Medina in Bogota. In his room, there were multiple drugs found, marijuana, antidepressants, opioids, heroin. And look, this guy could have been doing the Elvis. And for those of us that have looked into Elvis's demise and his handlers, how these guys would bring him up on amphetamines for the shows. And then when the show is over, they bring him down with sedatives, probably opioids and other things. Okay, so could this guy have been leading an Elvis-like life? Very, very possible. Okay. Now, the thing is, think about that kind of a hard lifestyle on top of the fact that this guy might have took the jabs and the heart issues going on with Rafael Nadal, the big, huge, one of the best tennis players to ever live. You had Hailey Bieber, Justin Bieber's wife, has a blood clot on her brain and all these sorts of things. And so they were saying that Rafael Nadal, he had some sort of a rib injury. We'll see, you're going to have a lot of this cover-ups going on due to the fact that Big Pharma contributes so much to the fake news budgets, okay? And so very, very interesting that his heart allegedly weighed so much. Now, there's other stuff out here that, that this guy, so this lady from Health Nut News, for years Taylor spoke out against the V's. He performed at Age of Autism and other events speaking out against it and even on video. Honored to have interviewed him when I lived in LA and shared a stage with him. RIP, he was fully vaxxed. It was required by Dave Grohl, and it has a picture of a little devil there. So Dave Grohl, the head of the band, she's maintaining that it was required by him for the band and all their people. And there's all these different Washington Post interviews and all these people gushing over Dave Grohl for forcing everybody, both in the apparatus of the band and all the fans, to get into the show to see this. So guy complains of chest pain, and then the ambulance was called, and they say he was already dead. Okay, now so there's some other interesting things here with Mr. Hawkins and Mr. Grohl. A lot of satanic imagery. Now this Birds of Satan, what I noticed about, like when a band, they write their name, they write it in a certain way, and there was a little bird there. It's the same bird that he had tattooed on his upper left arm, which I found kind of amazing, okay? Now, at the top of the second hour, there's this band that he had just formed, and they were releasing their album at any time. And the band is called NHC, okay? N Nancy, H Hotel, C Charlie, okay? NHC, and it stands for Navarro, Hawkins, and Cheney. Now, Navarro and Cheney were members of the band Jane's Addiction, And then, of course, you had Hawkins, so NHC. Now, if anybody knows about Dave Navarro, little Hispanic guy, he was in the Red Hot Chili Peppers for a second, and he was a bit, he was the guitarist in Jane's Addiction. The guy has like satanic tattoos, like right, like this satanic cross. It's right there and on, down below his throat. And many of these rockers and so forth have similar symbology tattooed on them. So Dave Navarro has a very prominent satanic cross. It's almost like it's almost like a Christian cross, and then sideways you can look at it, and it has, and it's like the number 18, okay? Or it could, you know, which is 666, kind of interesting, okay? But anyway, so I found this interesting that right about when this NHC band's about to drop their album, this guy, Mr. Hawkins, passes away. Now, I have a feeling that some of this more obscure music, which really didn't really, you know, make it into the stratosphere, let's say like the Foo Fighters did, I bet you a bunch of this music now is going to become much more popular. This is what happens when somebody dies that was involved. So let's see here. Mr. Producer, get clip one ready. Now, what's very fascinating about the Foo Fighters is they just released a movie on February 25th or so, a little bit, like about a month ago. And it is called Studio 666. And we're going to go ahead and play the trailer. Go ahead and play that one, clip one.
Foo Fighters, you got to get me a record.
It's our 10th album. We got to break the mold on this one.
Let's out. Let's go somewhere we've never been.
This place is amazing.
Do you guys get this overwhelming sense of death?
Whoa.
Doesn't really seem like the right fit.
Whoa.
It's rad.
That was weird.
The sound of this house is the sound of album 10.
All right, aren't you guys amps? Living room.
Let me apologize in advance for all the rock we're about to make.
Got a couple of ideas I've been working on. I'll lay them on you.
Wait.
It's called Everlong, and you wrote it about 20 years ago.
How are you feeling? Everything okay?
Ever since we moved into this house, my mind is flooded.
We all have writer's block.
This is not just a creepy rock and roll house. It allows spiritual entities to cross into our world.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest crazy.
It's this place, man.
Let's finish the track.
Can't we just wait, dude?
Play the drums.
You found a new musical note?
Hell yes, I did.
It's an L.
Any chefs in the group?
I'm pretty handy on a grill.
Yeah, you like your meat charred and dry.
So you kind of get the gist of it. It's like a horror comedy, okay? Just released about a month ago. Now, Mr. Producer, get clip three ready. This is the guys from the band getting interviewed by our favorite late-night Jewish gangster, Jimmy Kimmel. Let's go ahead and roll clip three about the movie.
I always knew you guys would make a movie one day. I just thought it would be a porno. Hey, you made this horror movie, and Dave, this was your idea, right?
It was kind of my idea, yes.
Kind of your idea?
Yes.
Whose idea was it also?
Well, it was my idea in that we would make a movie where band moves into creepy old house, starts making a record, the house is haunted, I become possessed I murder the whole band and go solo.
Okay. Now, when Dave pitched this fantasy that he had, was anyone concerned?
I just was wondering if this meant something.
Yeah, right.
This is Taylor.
You know? Do you think now after making the movie that it meant something?
I'm still not sure.
You're not sure?
We survived. Look at us. We're still Foo Fighters.
You guys
survived.
Yeah, you're all alive. That's good. That's a plus. You shot this in a house that you were claiming was haunted all along, but was not haunted, right, guys? I mean, did you see any?
It looked haunted.
It looked haunted. Was not haunted, as far as any of you know.
Not haunted.
Not haunted.
We told a lot of people that it was haunted.
Mm-hmm.
But we were.
All right, so you can stop that there and get clip two ready. Now, you know, I was just digging. And because I'm not a, like I said, I'm not a Foo Fighters fan. So I'm just digging around because something irked me about this whole thing. And look, the most simple explanation could be true. The guy was a poly substance abuser and had a history of that. He gets away from his family. He's down in South America. He's on tour. He was probably... was getting ready to go on stage a little bit, did some speed of some sort, some, you know, one of these amphetamine drugs or whatever, and then he might have had some sort of a cardiac event, especially cocktailed with the fact that he was jabbed, which we know the pericarditis, myocarditis, whatever. Now they're saying that he had a huge enlarged heart, natural. Who knows? You know, I was watching them. They were talking about the amount of oxygen a power drummer like this needs. It's kind of like a athletic thing going on here. And so, as we see with all the 700 and some odd sports people that have collapsed post vax over the last year and a half or so, this could be, you know, very, very, you know, a plausible explanation cocktailed with the fact that the dude probably did some party favors. Now, another thing that I thought was fascinating was their studio name in L.A. is Studio 606. So it's not 666, but it's 606. And I immediately latched onto that due to the fact that O is the 15th letter of the alphabet and 1 and 5 is 6. So you could actually say that is a studio 666. You could also look at it as Gog or Bob or kind of interesting Beelzebub there. You know, I don't know. But Dave Navarro being a heavy occultist. And then this happens to this guy when their album's about to come off. But let's, this is Hugo Talks talking about this movie. Let's listen to clip two for a little second here. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've got this movie, Studio 666, okay? Yeah, this movie was released only 2 weeks ago, okay? It's brand new. 2 weeks old, this movie is. A movie absolutely stuffed full of satanic imagery. And featuring the Foo Fighters, all of them playing themselves. A movie which is about the singer Dave Grohl, who becomes possessed by demons and sacrifices and murders his band members in a very gruesome manner, including the drummer Taylor Hawkins. This movie only came out 2 weeks ago. Again, it's kind of strange, right? So here we have a band that's been around for 27 years. Nobody has died in the band up until yesterday. They released a movie just 2 weeks ago called Studio 666, a horror comedy where the singer kills the band members, including the drummer, and then 2 weeks later, that drummer is dead in real life. Again, it's a strange coincidence. Why did they make this movie? I mean, it seems very odd. I mean, I've never understood slasher type horror movies. You know, like Halloween or Freddy Krueger. How is that entertainment? Watching people get killed in different gruesome ways. You know, you watch this for fun? You're watching this for entertainment? Do you find the idea of doing that in real life as maybe being fun? You know? I mean, I'm not adverse to violence in a film. If it's necessary
all right,
for
go
the
ahead,
story.
Stop that there, Mr. Producer. Now, another thing that I noticed about Mr. Hawkins and Mr. Grohl, they both played some sessions with the Eagles of Death Metal. And for those of us with memories to remember, the Bataclan massacre in France that happened when all those people got shot up at the Eagles of Death Metal concert. And then the really strange thing, and this is credit to Ole Domegaard, was the blood pattern on the floor where all the crowd would stand. That is the exact kind of a pattern that happened that was on the airport, and I believe in the Netherlands at the airport, and I can't remember the name, maybe it's Maripol, or I can't remember the bombing that happened there a few weeks later, and Ole Domegaard documented all that, and I might look that up during the break, but so they were involved with Eagles of Death Metal. Now, what's interesting about Grohl, Dave Grohl, he did this in 2004, a big kind of a record with a bunch of different artists on it called Probot. And it had a bunch of guys like Kronos of Venom, Lemmy from Motorhead, Tom Warrior of Celtic Frost, Snake of Voivod, and then it had King Diamond of Merciful Fate, and then the song went into I Am the Warlock with Jack Black of Tenacious D, and we know Jack Black has a lot of dark, satanic kind of undertones in his music and his movies, and so there's just a lot of dark stuff here. And then the song by the NHC at the top of the hour, it's going to be called Devil You May Know, which was this album coming out with Dave Navarro and Taylor Hawkins and this other guy. And then Taylor Hawkins' band, the Coattail Riders, at the bottom of the second hour, there's a song called See You in Hell, which I have queued up for us to just to hear. Some of this stuff where it's like these guys were into some dark stuff with the music, even though they play these super nice best guys in the business, you know, blah 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 blah, but they had that kind of that contract in the underlying imagery and song titles and lyrics and so forth. And then this guy goes out 25 years after he joins the band, right after they release this Studio 666 album, movie. So there's spiritual undertones here as well as the vax drugs and so forth. And I just wanted to throw that out there because this is just blown up huge out there in the kind of music world. So we'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
That was Amsterdam Schiphol Airport. I looked it up during the break. That happened after the Bataclan Theater, and this is when the false flags were just bing, bing, bing. Remember Charlie Hebdo and all that stuff, man. It was just like, you know, Sandy Hook and all of them. It was just bam, wham, wham. We were getting hit with these, you know, the shootings and bombings that were highly dubious and had some very, very strange earmarks on them that gave you a feeling of artificiality, of synthetic terror. Okay. So let's see. I want to talk about the videos that are flooding everywhere of Ukrainian quote-unquote Nazis shooting up these Russian troops and torturing them and shooting them in the genitals. And, you know, Alex Jones spent about 40 minutes talking about it today. Look, if this really is happening and these are not fakes or what have you. That's really crazy that this is going on. And I had this in my notes. I was like, okay, so when you're looking at this Ukrainian vids, you know, the shooting and torturing Russian POWs, is it real? Have the Ukrainian Nazis already at the top levels, just like any other group, being controlled by the Ashkenazis? That's what we have to really, because look, there's all this stuff about, you know, like on information liberation, the ADL defends Ukraine's neo-Nazis. They don't attack Jews or Jewish institutions. Okay. They published a Q&A defending Ukraine's neo-Nazi groups on the grounds that they don't attack Jews or Jewish institutions. Yeah, the only ones that can get out are Jews. In an article titled, "Why is Putin calling the Ukrainian government a bunch of Nazis?" the ADL interviewed David Fishman, professor of Jewish history at the Jewish Theological Seminary, to explain why Ukraine's neo-Nazis aren't so bad. There are neo-Nazis in Ukraine just as there are in the U.S. and in Russia for that matter, but they're a very marginal group with no political influence and who don't attack Jews or Jewish institutions in Ukraine. Oh, but the J6 people that are in these gulags here in the United States, they never attacked any Jews either, but boy, you guys are all calling them insurrectionists and blah, 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 blah. It's just nuts that you see this going on. Now, I got this up on information liberation. I mean, electronic intifada. Let me see if I can find. Oh, here it is. Now, this is going back all the way till 2018. The electronic intifada. Israel is arming neo-Nazis in Ukraine. 4th of July, 2018. Asa Winstanley wrote this. Israeli arms are being sent to a heavily armed neo-Nazi militia in Ukraine. Azov Battalion online propaganda shows Israeli-licensed Tavor rifles in the fascist group's hands. So you got Jewish rifles in this so-called fascist neo-Nazis group's hand. Now, if that's not the ultimate lunacy, buffoonery, silliness, clown show. So a bunch of so-called Nazis carrying around Jewish Tavor rifles. While Israeli human rights activists had protested arms sales to Ukraine on the basis that weapons might end up with anti-Semitic militias. In a letter about licenses for Ukraine obtained by the Electronic Intifada, the Israeli Defense Ministry's Arms Export Agency says they are careful to grant licenses to arms exporters in full coordination with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and other government entities. So think about this. This really fits into the kind of paradigm that I've been putting out here and others, that it's like, look, we've got this kind of thing here that says, look, why are the Jews, the organized Jewish mobsters, so interested in using these people that they would any other time in any other place in any other part of the world mark as their enemies, if these guys aren't just a cutout? Okay, so this is what people are trying to point out is they've got to be supporting these characters for a reason. And then look, just they're probably at the top echelons. Think about the Ukrainian women that are newscasters in Israel. And when you see them and they're like blonde haired, you would never even be able to tell that this person was quote unquote Jewish. By the way, they look like a regular European person. You don't think that they cherry pick these Jews from amongst themselves and be like, hey, you're really freaking, you know, you could, you're really Slavic looking and blase blah. We're going to use you as a psionym, as a Amman or Mossad agent in this country, just like they use those Mizraim Jews for operations in the Arab world, these Arabic Jews who are basically Yemeni and they speak Arabic. They look pretty much Arabic. You don't, this, you see the Jews do this because of their crypto nature. They're like, okay, where's all the blonde haired Jews at? All right, we're going to send you guys to the freaking Ukraine and you guys are going to go hang out with these Nazis and steer the ship. You guys are going to fund the whole, you know, this is kind of like how I'm looking at it. Okay. March 23rd on Veterans Today, no surprise here, is Israel lobby in the U.S. backing Nazis and blah, 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 blah. Okay. And, you know, just fascinating. Okay. So another thing about the Foo Fighters, 6-6, that's the two, FF. They got these always up on their banners and so forth, and 6-6, the two Fs, and that kind of feeds in with what the rest of it was in my notes, and I didn't get to it. Sorry about that. So let's see here. Biden, in 1 week, you know, people are putting this out all over the place. In 1 week, this guy, he has called for the New World Order, said we're building one and we're going to lead it. He's talking about we're going to get hit with cyber attacks, Russian cyber attacks. He told the troops they're going to Ukraine soon. He told us all we're going to starve and expect, you know, shortages of food and so forth. And he also said Putin needs to be taken out. All inside of a week, this guy has blundered and said all these things publicly. All right. Project Hamilton. Central bank digital currency. Isn't that interesting? They would use the name Hamilton, the Rothschild kind of plant, allegedly mixed in with all the founders of the country. Kind of interesting there. Now, let's see. Let's talk about the White House cyber warning. You know, we've had this cyber polygon stuff. We had this stuff in Israel, these exercises about a massive cyber attack. So Mr. Producer, get clip 9 ready. Just, you know, I can see these jerks whenever the heads of the snake decide to take this thing down. Big old great reset of the currency, just like in the 30s. Crash of the markets, the whole nine. Everybody's going to lose everything in their 401ks and all the rest of this crap. Go ahead and roll clip 9.
This is DAPU 7. We have the White House now sending out a strong warning to prepare for a cyber attack. And of course, you know where the finger's pointing. But they're urging local cybersecurity teams to get it together and to be on guard for what's about to happen. They say that this is a perfect storm. And you have to say that the stage is set here for anything to happen and then point the finger at you-know-who. Because here on this world stage, the tit-for-tat has gotten to a point where cyber attacks in Ukraine have gone large-scale, involving Russia, the United States, other entities on the ground there. But now they're saying here in the United States, you better prepare for certain sectors to get hit. They're saying what they're going to use is called a wiper. Funny how they just know everything here in advance, huh? It's not going to be ransomware attacks. It's going to be a wiper. And a wiper is different. It comes in, It encrypts your data, and it pretty much destroys everything that it runs across. Well, they call it a wiper. It just wipes everything out. So they also put Duke Energy on alert. Duke Energy is one of the largest energy providers in the country. They say that they're probably an attractive asset for these people to target. They have seen at Duke Energy alone an increase in phishing and cybersecurity breach attempts up 81% from January to February of this year. We don't have the data from February to March. The month's not up, but as soon as we get that, we'll go over that on a live stream. So just a heads up here, as the strong warning is being put out across the board, this local report out of Cincinnati showing how they're having to deal with this, and at this point, it's almost like it can happen at any time, any minute. And when it does...
You can stop that there. I'm getting some serious... I think it's gone now. Thanks. So we're going to talk about BlackRock here for a second and tie this in with Mr. Yuval Harari, this little gay Jew married to another man, Schwab's little Svengali. And I've been, I don't know how long I've been exposing this little goofball for weeks and weeks, but more and more stuff keeps coming out on this character. But Mr. Producer, get clip six ready. And this has to do with Aladdin, this basically artificial intelligence management system for BlackRock. Now, if you go to BlackRock.com and then you Larry Fink's 2022 chairman's letter to our shareholders. It was from Thursday. And it's right on BlackRock. And so you can look that up while we listen to this. Go ahead and roll clip six.
What if I told you there is a robot that controls more wealth than any country on Earth? A robot so powerful that in the last 10 years, it has quietly created the biggest company in the world. This is the story of a robot called Aladdin. It's Wall Street's best kept secret, and it's gobbling up every asset class across every industry. Aladdin now controls $21 trillion of our global economy. To put that in perspective, that's more than the $20 trillion GDP of the US or the $15 trillion GDP of the entire European Union. The New Statesman wrote, the total physical cash of all 7 billion people and every company, bank, vault, wallet, and piggy bank in the world is around $5 trillion. Aladdin has grown into a system responsible for more than four times the value of all the money in the world. This one robot directs the actions of the U.S. Federal Reserve, almost every major bank and investment fund on Wall Street, and over 17,000 traders. It controls half of all ETFs, 17% of the bond market, 10% of the global stock market, and carries out a quarter of a million trades every day and billions of forecasts every week. Year after year, it hoovers up trillions of data points on every market, every company, every asset, and now even each of us, what we buy, sell, and say, so that it knows what to buy and what to sell far better than any human being. Every major bank, company, and investment fund has come to rely on Aladdin and its all-powerful AI and algorithms to beat the market. And if they didn't, they've collapsed and failed in Aladdin's wake. And you know what the craziest part of this story is? This robot is just getting started. So where did Aladdin come from and how did it get so powerful? Aladdin is the brainchild of Larry Fink, the founder of BlackRock, and its total dominance has made his company the biggest shadow bank in the world and the most powerful company on Earth. The story you're about to hear is equally unbelievable and terrifying. In fact, you would think it was science fiction if it wasn't very real and happening today. This story starts in the 1980s, when Larry Fink was making millions pioneering mortgage-backed securities at Wall Street Bank First Boston. That's right, the same mortgage-backed securities that caused the 2008 global financial crisis 20 years later. But back in the 80s, he was in an epic Wall Street rivalry with Louis Ranieri at Salomon Brothers, made famous as the big swinging dick in Michael Lewis's book, Liar's Poker. Back then, Larry was making millions for the bank and was on track to be First Boston's CEO. And then in 1986, an error in the back office computer models led to Larry making the wrong trades and he lost cost the company $100 million. The result was Larry leaving the bank as a failure with a stupid computer to blame. With that experience, Larry had just one ambition, to build a super smart robot that could pick out risk and opportunity in the market and do it better than any computer or human could do. In 1988, he launched a new startup, BlackRock, with a tiny coding team to give birth to this robot. Its name, Aladdin, which stands for Asset, Liability, and Debt Derivative Investment Network. In its first 10 years, Aladdin was fed information about every asset, price movement, and risk variable in the global bond market, Larry's specialty. And in 1999, when Aladdin turned 11, Aladdin was getting so intelligent at picking losers and winners that Larry began selling access to its data to other Wall Street firms. That same year, he took BlackRock public on the New York Stock Exchange. Straight after the IPO, the dot-com bust burst, pushing a wall of money from the stock market to bonds, which Aladdin had become the undisputed world champion in. Within years, BlackRock had become a trillion-dollar company, and as money started shifting back to shares, what did Larry do? He bought the asset management arm of Merrill Lynch, which was focused on shares. So the gift for Aladdin's 18th birthday, all the data points for the entire stock market, and suddenly Aladdin had a new playground, analyzing every stock trade and risk factor for every company on the stock market. As a result, today BlackRock, together with his two closest rivals, Vanguard and State Street, both of which also rely on Aladdin's mountain of knowledge, have become the biggest shareholders of over 40% of all public listed companies in America. 2008, the global financial crisis hit, and before Aladdin turns 21 years old, is called on by every Wall Street bank and Timothy Geithner, the head of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. As soon as Lehman Brothers collapsed and the Wall Street meltdown began, the U.S. government came calling to save the next collapsing bank, Bear Stearns. It was Aladdin who decided which assets to keep and which to leave in the $30 billion rescue package. And few people know it was a robot that saved America from disaster. With that first success, the Fed, U.S. government, and now even European and Japanese central banks began relying on Aladdin to make the calls on where the $2.5 trillion of new money they printed should go. The majority of it, bonds and funding to prop up the mortgage companies and banks. But wait, aren't these exactly the assets that Aladdin and BlackRock already were invested in? Exactly. But growing protests of conflict of interest were drowned out by the noise of the printing presses printing more money, as the assets controlled by Aladdin rapidly grew to $11 trillion by 2013. In the last decade, Aladdin has gone from the leader to the dominator of all financial markets. With BlackRock's Barclays acquisition, it got iShares, Barclays Exchange Traded Funds Units, or ETFs. And with that, Aladdin moved from dominator of bonds and equities to dominator of ETFs, just as all the biggest investors shifted from mutual funds to ETFs. And that's when, in 2017, everything changed. On Aladdin's 29th birthday, Larry launched a top-secret project at BlackRock, codenamed Monarch. It led to the firing of his fund managers and replacing their funds with Aladdin's funds. The robot was now eliminating humans from the equation altogether. And as a result, today over 70% of all trades on U.S. stock markets are decided by robots, with Aladdin leading the way. These trades are completed from beginning to end without a human involved, in high-frequency trading far faster than a human can execute. Now, if this was just a story about a robot taking over the job of Wall Street traders, you might not be so concerned, unless you're one of those traders. But in the last 3 years, as Aladdin hit $20 trillion in assets, incredibly, it has begun to consume and control at an even faster rate. First, in 2020, as Aladdin turned 32 years old, the U.S. government and Federal Reserve again came calling as the pandemic hit. Aladdin was again the one to guide the nation in what was now $4 trillion of newly printed money. Where did the money go this time? Inexplicably, for the first time, the Fed began buying ETFs in 2020. Well, that's a little strange. And again, the cries of conflict of interest were drowned out by the money printing. And then Aladdin revealed its endgame. Recently, BlackRock acquired eFront, which collects data on the things that you and I own, including private equity and real estate. And since then, Aladdin has consumed eFront's data on the entire global real estate market. And yep, you guess what happened next. Over the last 2 years, BlackRock and other funds using Aladdin's data have begun buying up single-family homes, where they can afford to outbid the rest of us as they have unlimited financing at hyper-low interest rates. The result is home prices rising by 20% over the last 2 years and pushing now even big players like Zillow out of the market. And here we see Aladdin's endgame, to be the one hyper-intelligent AI robot that not just controls Wall Street assets, but all assets, public and private. Now, I'm not into conspiracy theories, but even a skeptic with eyes wide open can see the signs. We're already at a point where no one can compete without Aladdin. As CEOs and asset managers like Anthony Malloy are now saying, Aladdin is like oxygen. Without it, we wouldn't be able to function. And what about government regulation? Well, Joe Biden has appointed BlackRock executive Brian Deese as head of the National Economic Council, which basically means the oversight of Aladdin and BlackRock is now the responsibility of BlackRock. And Biden has also appointed BlackRock chief of staff Wally Adeyemo to be assistant secretary of the Treasury, which means BlackRock is now the Treasury as well as the Treasury advisor. And this story is far from over. The genie is out of the bottle, and Aladdin has already reached a tipping point where one robot controls more wealth than any person or country. But as Aladdin's AI capabilities continue to grow, and with its rate of control rising by another $1 trillion to $2 trillion in new assets every year, it looks inevitable that Wall Street's secret weapon could end up owning everything, and we end up owning nothing.
All right, how do you like that, Americans? How do you like that? So here's a Larry Fink's letter. As I write this letter to you, the world is undergoing a transformation. Russia's brutal attack on Ukraine has upended the world order that had been in place since the end of the Cold War more than 30 years ago. The attack on a sovereign nation is something we have not seen in Europe in nearly 80 years. Oh, didn't the Kamala say that too? Did Aladdin write this for these boneheads? Oh, forget about Clinton and the boys going in and bombing the hell out of Milosevic and all those Serbian people. Oh, that didn't count. And most of us never imagined that in our lifetimes we would see a war like this waged by a nuclear superpower. The attack on a The attack on a sovereign nation is something we've not seen in Europe in nearly 80 years. What about all the false flags that you clowns have run all over Europe and the United States for decades now? The 7/7 bombing over there in the tube in London? All these, all of these crazy terror incidents. I speak for everyone at BlackRock when I say that witnessing Russia's invasion of Ukraine has been truly heartbreaking. We stand with the Ukrainian people who have shown true heroism in the face of merciless aggression. War is always a humanitarian tragedy, but the indiscriminate killing of civilians has been particularly painful to witness. I bet it has, Larry. I'm proud of BlackRock's support for refugees fleeing their homes. Yeah, the Kalergi plan. Clear out the land for Kazaria 2.0. Yeah, we see you, Larry. In consultation with our stakeholders, BlackRock has also joined the global effort to isolate Russia from financial markets. In the past few weeks, BlackRock mobilized a philanthropic response to help those in need and support our colleagues in Europe closest to the war. While we do not have offices or operations in Russia, Ukraine, I know that this has created a great deal of stress and uncertainty for all of our employees, particularly those in Europe, and we have worked to provide them with the resources they need. The ramifications of this war are not limited to Eastern Europe. They are layered on top of a pandemic that has already had profound effects on political, economic, and social trends. These two operations, and I'm going off script here, are intertwined. COVID and now this. These are both ordered by the same cabal. The COVID lockstep operation, the SPARS 2025 to 2028, and now this whole dust up here in the Ukraine. This is all ordered by the same people. Notice how they're all marching in lockstep. Okay? The impact will reverberate for decades to come in ways we can't yet predict. Oh, really? How about your AI, Aladdin? I'm sure it's predicting some things. But it's definitely worth reading. It's a very long letter, and it gets implications of the Russian invasion of Ukraine for companies, countries, and our clients. Okay. Russia's aggression in Ukraine and subsequent decoupling from the global economy is going to prompt companies and governments worldwide to reevaluate their dependencies and reanalyze their manufacturing and assembly footprints, something that COVID had already spurred many to start doing. Amazing. Amazing. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
I had my fair share of hard times in my life, I must confess. When it comes down to living, Lord knows I'm living it up the best. He's the best, now he's a rest. I guess there is a road to nowhere, and that road it leads to me. If you're headed out,
you're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.